Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to the Trampled Bet podcast for the weekend of Saturday, September 23rd, 2023. I'm your host, Andy Vaughan, and with me, as always, is Gordo.
Hello, for the second time.
For the second time. And the reason our Patreons will know this, the reason this is the second time, is that we recorded the full show on Tuesday night. Gordon had a technical failure midway through the call. We finished the recording, but only the final third of the show actually saved. The first two thirds lost forever.
Yeah, they're like the first Doctor Who recordings. Someone's overwritten them. They're never here anymore.
That chat could have been brilliant. You know, maybe our listeners would have absolutely loved.
Oh, they would have. Two thirds would have loved it.
Of Tuesday's recording, but here we are. We've had a full dress rehearsal as a result, and we are back here now. And Gordon is using different tech. He's no longer trying to record it on his Tamagotchi. He's got a proper laptop.
Got my Atari set up, bro.
And hopefully we can do a very swift and good run through, considering we've had a full practice. A full practice, which co-host Joey Slenzak, you were also on. Sorry for wasting your time on Tuesday.
Yeah, no.
Thank you for coming back.
Yeah, no, it always keeps things interesting. You know, can't always go smoothly, much like my week last week.
Well, I'll tell you what.
We love that again.
Into our broadcasting. So yeah, no, we'll take them as we go. We roll with the punches here.
I'll tell you what as well. The fact that we're recording this on Thursday and Tuesday's clip is gone forever means people might not know about your dreadful Arsenal prediction in the Champions League last night.
What Arsenal prediction are you talking about?
Yeah, there's no recording of any Arsenal prediction. In fact, I recall Joey saying, 4-0 win for Arsenal, and correctly calling all of the goal scorers back to back to back.
It's definitely what happens. Let's leave it at that. So we shall run through last week's picks once again, but the first time for everyone listening to the show, and then quickly head into the break. Starting with the banker picks from last week. My banker. Great. They took Rangers away at St Johnstone. They won 2-0. It was pretty easy. They get paid out after 79 minutes. Took a while for that second goal, but there was absolutely no stress in this at all. Banker odds of 1-4.
Banker did much the same. Won by a 2-goal margin. This was West Ham versus Man City. Boys didn't like it. I did. Thought Man City was better than West Ham. They were. They won 3-1. They did almost the exact same thing in Europe last night as well. Down 1-0. Scored just before halftime this time. Anyway, 3-1 win, 1-2. Not going to get City at those odds
really
for the
good
rest of the season.
Odds. Really big, really big. Joey.
J-Man.
Yeah. Yeah. And perhaps the biggest banker of them all. Got phenomenal closing line value with Anderlecht. Tipped him at 1.7 and they closed around 1-2. But in order to capitalize on that closing line value, they kind of need to win the game, which unfortunately they did not. We had one goal conceded in the 19th minute, and then they equalized right after in the 20th. And then Anderlecht had a man sent off in the 54th minute. So just right after halftime, basically pulled a Luis Suarez in the World Cup. And instead of Ghana missing the penalty, Kortrijk scored there. And then they were down 2-1, flattered by the scoreline. Kortrijk had a red card later, and then they equalized in like the 97th minute. But not enough time for us to quite turn that around.
2 out of 3 on the bankers then. We'll be looking to go 3 out of 3 this week. On to the value picks then. I've kept my winning run going. Wraith versus Inverness. They took their time, but Wraith at 10-11 eventually got that winning goal in the 87th minute. So my value came in last week as well.
Yep. Done it, undone that. 2000, year 2000, hoodoo they had going.
They just... The head-to-head was mental, but and you did pick up on it last week, and we did discuss it, and it just seemed like the sort of this was when it was going to get broken. Wraith are top of the league, Inverness are bottom. Such a bad result for Inverness, and such a bad run for Inverness that they sacked Billy Dodds this week. Their manager and also the assistant gone.
We're into the world of potential of Callum Davidson or the other tipped ones. I can't remember who the other tipped managers were, but he's the favourite. So
excellent, Johnson, pick. Callum Davidson. Hard job for anyone that gets that.
Yeah. My value was my only blot in this week's copybook for me. This was Genoa at Napoli. Genoa were up 2-0. So I'm so glad I backed Napoli. So I had taken Napoli away from home here. Genoa went up 2-0. Napoli got back into it, got it to 2 each. Couldn't find that final goal to fully redeem me. Only were 4-1 to on the X2 market when they were 2-0 down as well, which just shows that they were expectant of something happening in the second half. Just wasn't enough for me to get my value in. So no value for moi, Joey.
Yeah, my value wasn't much better either. This was probably the worst pick of the weekend for me. Probably should have stayed away from this one. But hey, these are things we learn early in the season. But I had Heracles against Utrecht and. I like Heracles to win in what was pretty much priced as a pick'em, and they conceded in the 5th minute, so not a great start. They did have a goal chopped off within 10 minutes of that, but unfortunately went on to lose 3-1. So, yeah, no dice there.
Okay, on to the outsiders. We had a great time with our outsiders last year. I had another good one at the beginning of this season, Aarhus versus Brøndby. Really liked the Brøndby win here at 21-10, so it cleared that 2-1 line that Gordon likes to set for outsiders. Brøndby won the game 3-0 away from home. It was paid out after 40 minutes. This was absolutely helped by an Aarhus red card in the 23rd minute in Brøndby scoring the associated penalty, but a comfortable outsider win at 21-10 odds. So 3 out of 3 for banker value outsider for me.
Nice one, Andy. I followed suit in the outsider slot by getting mine in and super comfortable. Super comfortable for me. 90+9 was the goal I required for this one. This was Cosenza versus Sud-Tirol. And I got this text from our co-host, Mr. Slenzak, while I was out in the golf course, before I got the notification for the goal, just the way that my signal was working out as well, which was great.
What was the text? Yeah,
I think it was Cosenza.
That would be much nicer for you.
Oh, yeah.
Than the text you got from me at the end of your value. Fuck Napoli and fuck you.
No, he also you texted me during the Napoli game saying, fuck's sake, shitpoli, twice.
Shitpoli.
But yeah, so it was 2-each it finished up. Cosenza took the lead, two quick fire goals in the second half for Sutero, and then a goal for Cosenza right at the death, 90+9, to bring in my outsider.
Great.
Went off 19-10.
Ooh,
started at 21-10 though. Started
under
at 21-10.
The Gordo line.
That is. It's like the Mendoza line. But yes. So, Joey, where were you for your pick?
Yeah, my outsider. I was sticking in Austria with Klagenfurt, Austria Klagenfurt, and I like them to draw against LASK Linz, and they did not. They they got caught out pretty bad on the first half. LASK ended up going up 3-0, just countering them, being efficient with their shots. And then they clawed one back in the second half, but weren't able to quite make that comeback.
Fair enough.
2 out of 3 on the outsiders, pretty good. I always put the outsiders on as a tricksy because they're pretty high odds. Just need 2 out of 3 to get a good return. So that happened this week. On to the charity bets then, and this is, I was denied by 4 out of 4 for the week by absolutely farcical refereeing. Anyway, Dundee United versus Greenock Morton. I took Dundee United for the home win at 4-6. They took the lead in the 19th minute through Louis Molt. He is scoring so many goals for us. Well, 3. And he's assisted 3. But he is our main threat. But if you go to the bookies, Tony Watt's always the favourite for first goal or anytime goal scorer. He's the lowest price. Don't be taking Tony Watt. Louis Molt's our main man. Mm-hmm. Right? So there's just, you know, if anyone dabbles in those markets, always take Louis Molt. We never looked like conceding a goal at all. We gifted them the equaliser in the 58th minute. Ball over the top. Defender on the edge of the box has got to head it back to the goalie without looking at where the keeper is. Turns out he was a yard away from him trying to collect the ball and just headed it towards his own goal line for a tap-in for a Morton player. 5 minutes later, man sent off for an off-the-ball incident. That we have since, it was very soft. Very, very soft. We have since appealed it, and the appeal has been turned down. Great. Cheers,
really?
SFA. Yeah.
It's so soft as well, because I've seen the incident.
Ridiculous. I think the fact that there's any contact basically means they're just sticking with their decision. And then we were denied a Stonewall penalty in stoppage time. Just a farce, the whole thing, really.
Proper Looney Tunes still picture from that as well. Like, the guy's shirt is like a full triangle.
Ah, he's totally... The keeper's made a save, and he's standing in the six-yard line about to tap it in. The Morton player goes, nope, and just yanks his shirt. Like, forcefully enough, the still image is hilarious. But the guy also then falls over, can't get into the ball. You're not allowed to do that.
Do you know when, like, Wile E. Coyote has something removed from underneath him and he looks down and he's like, that's what the image looks like. Yeah,
it's ridiculous. Anyway, there's no VAR in the Scottish Championship, so the penalty never came. And the ref's looking right at it. The still image is even funnier because the ref is immediately on top of this. Anyway, no charity pick for me. 3 out of 4 week. Pretty happy with that, but God, it should have been 4 out of 4. And I'll be backing the charity bet this week because, Gordon, you were successful. Please tell
me. I care about charity. So I had Viking away at Haggisund. They won this game 2-0. Not much to talk about in the game. Scored before the first, before halftime, just after halftime. If you could draw up when you would like your goals, it's probably to demoralise the opposition outside of the first 5 minutes for both. Secondly, it's probably this. So charity in for me, 3 out of 4 for me as well. Pretty conservative charity price went off of 7 to 10. So, but hey ho, you know, charity's in, which led it on to Joey for his charity.
Yeah. I had, I was back home in the MLS and I had Charlotte versus DC United. I was hoping for a Charlotte win, looked pretty good on paper, but then as the teams were playing out, I mean, it was pretty even match. Both sides had 14 shot attempts, and then DC just had more shot attempts on target versus Charlotte's 2. And I think it was a pretty fair scoreline, finishing 0-0, unfortunately. But yeah, sometimes it's the way she goes. 0-4 for me. But
0-0's close, Joey. And don't worry, I'd already ruined it. So no charity treble this week. We go again for this weekend. Okay, we're coming up to the ad break for those of you listening as a podcast. If you're a Patreon member, though, you can watch the video call basically as soon as we record it, as long as Gordon doesn't delete the files, we upload it straight away. So Patreon members will be hearing this as soon as we log off. You also get a cheat sheet if you're a Patreon member. So that's all the picks from the podcast written down in a handy to read format. You can just pull it up on your phone. And that's, you can find out the information for that at tramplebet.com. It's £6 a month to be a member of the Patreon. You also get the middle section instead of the advert that's coming up.
You do.
So, you know, that's good. Lots of good extra content. So thank you to everyone that already subscribes. We also have a Facebook group. Come and join the conversation. Just search Trample Bet on Facebook. That's free again. And there's loads of good stuff on that. And we'll talk about that more at the end of the show. Okay. Time for a quick ad. Catch you after these.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back, and now on to this week's picks for the weekend of Saturday, September 23rd, 2023. For those of you new to the podcast, we follow a standard format. We absolutely always have a banker pick from each of us, which is something we think is an absolute lock this weekend, and the price reflects that. So these are low odds things that you can just jam on a coupon and be pretty certain of boosting your odds slightly. A value pick where we think the chance of it coming in is better than the price that the bookies have priced it up as. These tend to be around the even money mark. You get one of them from each of us. Then you get an outsider from each of us. This is something that the bookies have priced up as an underdog, but we think has a really good chance of coming in as a winner. Gordon has set this rule now in his head that these need to be 2-1 or higher. Not the case, but
it's easy to remember. Bankers under 1-2, outsiders over 2-1. It rolls off the tongue and into your heart.
Absolutely. Or if you're a decimal guy, bankers under 1.5. Values over, outsiders over 3, whatever, is fine. That's just a general guide. And then we round off the show with a pick from each of us that we combine as a treble, put a tenner of our own money on that treble, and any winnings, or any returns actually, you know, get the stake back, any returns go to a charity that we announce on next week's show. So let's kick us off with the bankers for this weekend. I am very close to home Saturday at 12:30 p.m. in the Scottish Premiership for Livingston versus Celtic. And the away win for Glasgow Celtic is 2-7. So Celtic are top of the league, 13 points from 5 games. So obviously they've won 4 of them, drawn the one. They travel to 7th place Livingston, who have 6 points from their 5 matches. Celtic have played 2 away games this season. They've won them both. Livingston have played 2 home games this season. They've drawn them both, a 0-0 and a 1 each. The recent head-to-head has been all in Celtic's favour. They've played 4 times since the beginning of 2022. Celtic have won all 4 of those fixtures, 1-3 and 0-3 when they played away from home, and 2-1 and 3-0 at Celtic Park. So the fact they're away at Livingston here is not a problem. This should be routine. And I quite like, it's quite a big price, 2-7.
You know, I don't like this pick, but it's only because I feel Celtic struggle coming off the back of European things. And they also, if you ask any Celtic fans, they don't really like playing at Livingston because it's a shit pitch.
No one likes playing at Livingston. No one.
Yeah, not even Livingston.
Horrible
really,
plastic pitch. But they're a class above. They should.
I think you're correct. Yeah. So my banker is in Norway. Very familiar league and pick for me. I'll be taking Viking versus popular Glasgow Sexual Health Clinic, Sandiford. So Viking have been fab at home. You know, the only points they've dropped have been Vålerenga. Sandiford have been terrible away, 17 games. They've played away from home. They've had one win. It was also against Vålerenga. So I don't really know what to say about Vålerenga in this instance. Viking are top of the league. Bodo dropped points. They need to keep winning games against people. Bodo got to have to play midweek. Viking don't. They got Aberdeen knocked them out of the Conference League or Europa League at the time. It's a game that they should win, and the odds reflect that. 3-10, 1-4, bookmaker dependent. So I'll be taking Viking at home to beat Sandiford. Joey, who are you on?
Yeah, so I was in Netherlands last week, and we're going to be back in Netherlands. Not quite as controversial of a pick this time. I'm going to reel things in quite a bit. And my banker this week is going to be PSV to win against Almere City. You can get that at 1-5. So that's going to be on Saturday at 7 p.m. This should be as straightforward as it gets. The most bankery banker I've had in a very long time. Top of the table versus second bottom. Second highest scoring team traveling to the side that has conceded the most goals. 4 wins in 4 league matches for PSV. And they've picked up 12 wins and a draw in their last 13 matches prior to playing Arsenal at the midweek, where they got properly thumped 4-0, but Almere City are not Arsenal. Thank God. Thank goodness for that. Almere City have actually, they were recently promoted this season, and they've lost 4 of their first 5 matches. So they shouldn't really be expecting to get much from this. Maybe score a goal, give the fans something to shout about, but PSV's last 7 wins have been by 2-plus goals, and they've scored 3-plus goals in 6 of their last 8. Prior to this midweek Arsenal match when I was doing these write-ups. I think if you want to add a little bit more spice into there, you can go with a win plus over 2.5. You can go with minus 1.5 handicap, or you can go with the halftime full-time line. But for the sake of the banker travel, just getting this one in, we're going to go with PSV to win straight up.
Banker
2-9.
No spice. No spice required. This is bland. Nada. Joey, this is traditional English food.
This is a chicken Maryland at the Chinese. This is what this is.
I didn't
is.
Want to quite make too many enemies.
This is a korma without even any coconut in the sauce.
Yeah.
It's too spicy.
Too spicy.
That's what we want. So wins for Celtic, Viking, and PSV combines to 1.04-1 on Bet365. At least it did on Tuesday evening. Celtic are still the same price. I think everything's still the same price for the bankers. So around even money if you fancy our banker treble. On to the value picks then. And as I like to do, I am in the Japanese J League, the J1 League, the top flight. Saturday at 11 a.m. UK time for Kyoto Sanga versus Sanfrecce Hiroshima. And the away win for Hiroshima is 10-11. The J-League season's 27 games in. They basically go with calendar year as opposed to splitting it over Christmas. So we've got a big sample size here to look at compared to the European leagues. Hiroshima is 7th place with 44 points. But the league is so tight at the top, that's only 8 points behind top of the league Vissel Kobe. So Hiroshima have got themselves into fighting for the title potentially. Kyoto Sanga way back in 14th place with just the 30 points. The home away splits here, they're reflective of their overall standing. So if you look at just the home table, Kyoto Sanga pretty much 14th in that, and Hiroshima pretty much up near 7th place in the away. So as you would expect, but form-wise, Hiroshima top of that 5-game form table. They've taken 13 points from their last 5 matches and they have been flying. Kyoto Sanga have managed 7 points, so pretty middle of the road. Head-to-head, Hiroshima have the best of this since the 2022 season when Kyoto Sanga won promotion and came back up. They hadn't played each other for ages. But since then, the sides have played 4 times. 2 Hiroshima wins and 2 draws, although one of those draws was a cup game that Hiroshima later won in extra time. The fact they're in great form at the minute, I really like them, and I really like them in this spot. And there's pretty good value taking them around even money. They're 10-11. So I think
there's value there. Good man. Well, I am in a league that hasn't started with a calendar year and is only 6 games in. So that's where the big prices are. I'm in La Liga on Saturday night, 8 p.m. For Almeria versus Valencia. And I really like a Valencia team who are priced at 11-8 away from home here. Almeria have started the season awful. They are bottom of the league. They have taken 1 point from their last 5 games. They've been playing against teams who are pretty similar to Valencia in here, and Villarreal. They've almost got the same badge. Celta Vigo. They drew with Cadiz, they lost to Real Madrid, and they lost to Rayo Vallecano. Valencia have been really good. They thumped Atletico Madrid last weekend 3-0. They'd losses to Alaves and Osasuna, but they beat Las Palmas and Sevilla in there as well. Valencia have been looking to make a European charge at the moment. They are in 5th position in the league and are just outside of the Champions League spots. Obviously, long time to go. Valencia look a really good bet for me here. I just think that getting a team who are playing against the worst team in the league so far and have taken 1 point from 5 games is a good spot to be taking your team. So you'll get Valencia 11-8 away from home Saturday night. Joey, where are you?
All right. So for my value pick, I'm going to bring a little bit more flavor back to the show. And this one, we're going to be in Germany. And I like Stuttgart versus Darmstadt over 3.5 goals total. You can get that right around 2.4-ish. It started been kind of starting to come in a little bit. It was 2.5 when we actually recorded this the first time. That's going to be on Friday at 7:30 p.m. Stuttgart have perhaps been the shock side so far, picking up 3 wins in their first 4 matches. But the standout for me has obviously been the offensive output with 14 goals in 4 matches, and they've scored 3-plus goals in 5 of their last 6 matches overall. And they've actually scored 4-plus goals in 4 of those 6. Darmstadt has only picked up 1 point in 4 matches, and they've conceded the most goals with over 3.5 goals in 4 of their last 6 matches, including a 3-1 loss to Liverpool in the preseason. But they've also conceded 3-plus goals in 5 of their last 6 matches and have seen 5-plus goals in 3 straight matches. Seiru Girassi is in sensational form, scoring 12 goals across 6 straight starts. He's actually had 2 braces and 2 hat tricks during that stretch. So I think 1.6 is a phenomenal price for him to help get us over that over 3.5 goals. And if you want to get even spicier, 5-2 for the brace seems like a great bet for me. But for this one, we're going with Stuttgart over 3.5 goals at 2.4-ish.
Or the game over 3.5 goals, as opposed to just
the total,
Stuttgart.
Yeah. The total game, yeah.
Yeah. I'll be taking the under 3.5 goals line in this game just to ensure it. Yeah. Just to cover myself.
Exactly. Okay, dog. So the value treble then would be wins for Sanfrecce, Hiroshima, and Valencia, and over 3.5 total goals in the VfB Stuttgart versus Darmstadt game. That combines to 9.88-1, so around 10-1 if you fancied following all the picks. On to the outsiders then, and I am way clearing your line, your arbitrary 2-1 line here. Sunday at 5 p.m. in the Danish top flight, the Superliga, for Midtjylland versus Odense. And I fancy the away win for Odense, that on Tuesday night was 17-4. It is now 9-2. So 4.5-1, almost 5-1, Gordo. How do you like them apples? We're eight games.
She's to win, mate.
We're eight games into the Superliga season. Both these teams have been pretty middle of the road so far. Midtjylland are seventh with 11 points. Odense are ninth, only one game back with 8 points. Interestingly, though, six of Odense's 8 points have come on the road, playing three away games, winning two of them. 2-1 away against a very good Brøndby team, and a smashing, a 5-1 away, a very poor Villa team. Midtjylland have won the last three times the side have met, but Odense did win this as the away fixture last season. So they've done it recently. Recent history also tells us this game has goals. Both teams to score has happened in the last six meetings of the sides. Over 2.5 happening every single time. Over 3.5 happening 5 of the 6 times. And over 4.5 goals happening 4 times. So this fixture tends to produce goals. However, this Midtjylland team isn't the one that was winning titles a couple of years ago. This is a side that this season has already been beaten 4-1 by Lyngby, so not very good. I think the sides are much more closely matched than the bookies are reflecting in their prices, having Midtjylland as heavy favourites and Odense as a big outsider. So I'll take that big price on Odense to win the game at 4.5-1, and we'll just see what happens.
Ah, Rodense, yeah. The old away team, Rodense. That's
it. They're the guys.
I mean, it's good and nice that you finally decided to de-shite bag your outsider, but unfortunately, you will be trumped by a real outsider, a real big man's outsider, as opposed to the wee guy outsider you've brought to the podcast there. I am taking Boavista away at Braga at now 5-1. It was 11-2 when we recorded before.
Oh, it's coming in.
And 19-4 at Ladbrokes as well. So really, really coming ahead towards the price of your one. But
no one should bet at Ladbrokes after they regularly
shafted us. Yeah.
Shafted me once on the Scottish mascot race at Hamilton Races, Joey, where they get all the guys dressed in the costumes to race. Terry Terror, the Dundee United mascot, was down. So obviously I backed him. And then I got to watch the live feed of this, and it wasn't Terry Terror at all. It was Tiny Terror, the fucking kid's mascot. I wouldn't have backed a child racing against.
Well, you had to read the fine print, I guess.
Gary, can you clip that? Just that wee bit there. Just keep that for later on. I wouldn't have backed a child.
Ridiculous. So I got in touch with their live chat, and I was like, "Look, you incorrectly listed who was running in this," and I think they just didn't take me seriously, you know. Because I guess if you're backing fucking mascots racing against each other, you deserve nothing, do you? But even still, fell out with Ladbrokes then.
So we are an anti-Ladbrokes podcast. They have manoeuvred Andy here, and he is unhappy about that. So I am on Boavista away at Braga. They're 5-1. They're top of the league, 13 points from 5 games. Better goal difference than Sporting and Porto, who joined them up there. Braga haven't been very good. They lost to former home of Ryan Gold, Firenze, 3-1 at the weekend. And then they lost to Napoli in a really tight game where they ran themselves into the ground. I fancy Boavista here based on the fact that Braga have had to play against the Italian champions midweek and that they've been really good so far. Boavista have been playing teams towards the bottom of the league, with the exception of the first game of the season where they beat Benfica 3-2, but that came with a lot of red cards and different things going on. So I just think it's a nice time to be back in a team who are high in confidence in playing against a Braga team who are having to play Europe midweek. You get them at 5-1 to do so, 11-2 previously on Tuesday before my laptop decided to crap out. But yeah, so we're on for a mega outsider here, and I am looking forward to hearing Joey's 10-1 outsider to better us all here. So Joey, what have you got?
Yeah, I'll bring things a little bit closer to what I might maybe mistakenly refer to as sanity. And my outsider this week is going to be in Belgium. I'm going to be back with Anderlecht. I don't think they're a bad team. I think they just had a series of unfortunate events on Sunday there. Fortunately, that hurt us, but they'll be fine. That's
something you can say as an Anderlecht fan. You know, you could go, oh, well, you know, we just had a series of unfortunate. You, however, can back anything you like in the entire world.
And I thought that was a fantastic shout. And I'd still back them 10 times out of 10. That just happened to be the one that didn't come in. But no, this time.
Now you can literally pick anything in the world, Joey. You're not a fan. You don't have to go back each week.
This is like, and this is, I can hear like people talking to Andy chance. About this. Yeah. He's like, you don't have to go back, but we're playing against Dunfermline next week, and it's a lock, Natalie, a lock.
Once again, I think for the third straight week now, I will be going back to the well. Gosh darn me, I will get this eventually. And this time I like Anderlecht to draw against Club Bruges. That's going to be right around 3.45-ish. It's coming a little bit since the weekend, but that's on Sunday at 5:30 p.m. And we've got two perennial heavyweights clashing as second place Anderlecht hosts third place Club Bruges in what should be the marquee matchup for the weekend in Belgium. It's got that prime 5:30 slot. I don't think there's a game after that. And they're really standing this up to be some good fireworks, some good action. But ultimately, I just think the price on Bruges is a little bit too short. It's around 2.2. And frankly, I don't think it should be that heavy of favorites. I think Anderlecht are being slightly undervalued here. But unfortunately, based on last week's action there, I'm not sure if they'll quite be able to get all 3 points. So I landed on the draw. And Anderlecht have actually been really solid at home. They've picked up 3 wins in 3. But they have drawn back-to-back matches now. Bruges have been okay from home. They've got 2 wins and a loss. But they've got a tough trip to Istanbul right now, where they're playing Beşiktaş as we're recording this. 0-0 at halftime. I would have preferred a couple more goals than that. But hey, maybe the second half will be entertaining. So I'm imagining they'll be a little knackered after that. That's going to be a tough test, absolutely. And they're going to be running all over the park. And currently, so far this season, Anderlecht have been involved in 6 straight matches that have either been level at full time or have been a 1-goal win in their favor. And Club Bruges have actually had 3 straight away matches decided by 1 goal. So plenty of tight games already so far. And then historically, both sides have drawn 7 of the last 8 meetings between the two sides, and then 3 of the last 4 meetings at Anderlecht have been level. So should be another 1-1 draw here. I personally like that, but 2-2 wouldn't surprise me in the slightest.
You should be hamming this up. You should be hamming this up more, Joey. I am Team Joey here. 7 of the last 8 games they've played against each other have been draws, with the other one being a 1-0 loss.
In the history of this podcast, when it started with myself and John Walker in that room in the west end of Glasgow, down the hidden lane in the old studio, ever since then, we have never, ever had a technical failure that resulted in us having to re-record the podcast 2 days later and giving people ample time to change their picks. Ever. The universe gave you this opportunity, Joey. And there are.
It'll be great.
Back in Belgium.
Pick.
Fucking
great
talking
pick.
About Anderlecht.
Great, Andy.
If Anderlecht win this game. Now. If they win this game and it's not even a draw, man, I tell you, mate, you are not allowed near Belgium again. Not even football wise. I'm taking all your Tintin books. You're never allowed to watch another Poirot movie. No more chocolate.
Try me.
No more mayonnaise on your
you
chips.
Could never
it's
keep me away.
Done.
No,
I think it's a great picture.
If we're talking scandalous outsiders, then hopefully this Odense match doesn't end level, like I think it very possibly could. But I definitely agree with you that
it absolutely could. They're 9-2. Like, absolutely could end level.
It's okay. And the draw is it's 13-5 in this 1x2. So yeah,
I think Andy, you're too much pressure too much pressure on this outsider for him here. I think Joey's, I like this pick a lot. A draw where 7 of the last 8 meetings have been draws.
Surely, yeah.
Give me a piece of that.
There's the outsiders then. Denmark, Italy, and it's Denmark, Portugal, and Belgium. So wins for Odense Bold Club, win for Boa Vista, and a draw between Anderlecht and Club Bruges. Works out well. It worked out on Tuesday over 120-1. I know that Odense have drifted and Boa Vista might have come in slightly, so it's probably the same. I'll be taking that as a small stake, Trixie, so I only need 2 out of the 3 to return a profit. Okay, gents, on to our charity picks. So one game each, one result each from anywhere in the world. We'll combine them. I'll put a tenner of it, a tenner of my own money on that, and any returns we get from a winning coupon will go to a charity we'll announce next week. Myself and Gordo, we don't alternate backing it. We have rules as to who backs it. And because I lost mine last week and Gordon got his in, the onus rests on me, which is only fair. Saturday, 3 p.m. And there's me, Joey, having given you hassle for going back to Anderlecht. Here I am going back to Dundee United in the Scottish Championship, who are away at Inverness. And the away win for Dundee United is 11-10. We are 5 games into the Championship season. Dundee United are second top. They're unbeaten. They have 11 points. So 3 wins and 2 draws. Inverness are rock bottom. Only 1 point so far from their 5 games. And as we mentioned in the first half of the show, that was enough to get their manager sacked this week. Sometimes that can change a team's fortunes. But when you sack your manager, you probably can't be too confident playing the title favourites the very next match. The sides haven't met since 2020, but looking back to those games, Dundee United won the last 6 meetings of the teams in a row. They got stupidly unlucky last week against some awful refereeing decisions, and they still managed the draw, and a draw was seen as a terrible result. So Dundee United should be winning most games they play in this league. Getting them at better than even money should just be taken. So 11-10 for Dundee United. That's charity leg number 1. I think they've come in price, but I've actually already backed this at those odds of 11-10. So the charity money is locked in.
Well, I'm 11-10 for me with Parma as well. I'll be taking Parma at home to Sampdoria in the Serie B, which is a game that sounds like it could have been in the Serie A.
Yeah, it would have been watching a Football Gazette back in the day.
Channel 4.
Yeah.
So yes, Parma versus Sampdoria, 2 teams in very different fortunes at the start of Serie B. So Sampdoria just got relegated out of Serie A. They are down with the boys who are getting in the Serie C region at the moment. They are 16th in the league, played 5 games, got 2 points from it, scored 5, conceded 8. Contrast that with Parma, who made some really good signings over the last few years, who are top of the league, 13 points from 5 games, scored 11, conceded 1. They've been really, really good. Last week, they beat Canzatano, who have just been promoted here, 5-0. They've beaten Pisa 2-1. They've beaten Cittadella. They've beaten Feralpisalo. Sampdoria are losing to teams towards the bottom of the league, which is not good for them. They're losing to Venezia in here, Cittadella. They drew with Cremonese. I think Parma are a decent shout here to win this game. They are headed by their striker at the moment, a Polish youngster who's been tipped to replace Lewandowski when he retires from the national team here. And he's been banging them in. I think it's Adrian Benedzak. He scored 2 against Canzatano. He's been banging them in towards the end of last season. He's only 22. And he had been playing at, go on Andy, whereabouts in Poland was he playing before?
Stettin or Szczecin.
Szczecin. So he was playing with Szczecin.
They're the same city. One's the German pronunciation and one's the Polish. I wasn't giving 2 answers there.
Yes.
Great big place.
But so he came to Parma just at the end of 2021, and he's been decent so far. But this has kind of been, they're expecting him to be his breakout year. I see Parma winning this game comfortably, which isn't how the bookies see it. Got 11-10 for them to do so. So I like them in this slot.
There you go. Modena, you mentioned earlier, of course, famous for its lager. Parma, famous for its ham. Sampdoria, though, one of the few Italian teams I'd say probably famous for its football club more than anything else.
It is.
What else is from Sampdoria?
I actually, I actually don't know. I would have said Parma's favourites for its violets as opposed to its ham, but it depends on what part you're...
Are they actually to do with the place, Parma?
Probably not.
Are they those horrible perfume-flavoured sweets? It's like silk-cut cigarettes in sweet form.
Yeah, they're not great. They're the things that I would leave at the bottom of a Halloween bag. Like, definitely, yeah. Your violets.
I mean, I'll snap the filter off a silk cut and have it if needs must. But I'm not touching Parma violets. Joey,
so yeah, how you understood me?
None of that.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm just glad to be here. Yeah.
God knows why.
My charity pick this week, rounding out the treble and most likely the show, is going to be back in the MLS. And I like Inter Miami versus Orlando City. Both teams are scoring over 2.5. And this was 2.1-ish, joining the 11-10 train. But it's kind of drifted in a little bit closer to like 1.9, 1.8-ish. This is going to be on Monday at 12:30 a.m. So just after midnight. Hopefully not too many people are staying up to watch this one with a busy work.
It's a bank holiday in Scotland.
Is it actually?
It's a bank. It's bank holiday on Monday, mate.
How do you know these things? I know you're like me. You have no dependents. You have no kids. Why do you know there's bank holidays?
My wife works for the NHS, so she gets bank holidays on this. I was told yesterday that it was a bank holiday. This is not something that I generally
I'm always
know.
Surprised by bank holidays. They sneak up on me.
They do. They do. But yes, so Joey, there are ample reason for our listeners to stay up and be watchers of this game.
No, there's an even better reason to actually watch this come in. Yeah, no. So I'm the same way with holidays where my past couple careers here working for the grounds crew, we don't really get 4th of July and national days off because everyone who's off work wants to go golfing. So it's catch 22 there. But no, hopefully we've got a really entertaining match for the sorry patrons who stayed up this late to watch Inter Miami and Orlando City duke it out in the Florida Derby. I don't know if that's actually what it's called, but that's what I'm going to call it because both sides are in Florida. Hey! But Orlando City here are the form side in the league, topping the 5, 10, and 15 game form table. And they have only had 3 losses now. It was 2 back when we were initially recording this, but they lost on Wednesday to NYCFC in a tough match. I thought they were going to duke out a draw. But it's only been 3 losses in their last 19 matches. And they were, they still technically are because that was an away match. They're currently unbeaten in 10 straight home matches. And they've given themselves an outside chance to win the Supporter Shield for best record in the regular season. They're only 9 points now behind Cincinnati with 5 games to play. So it's still an outside chance, but I think that'll help us a little bit down the road here. But even in this scorching form, they've only kept 5 clean sheets during this 19-match stretch now. And they've seen both the score in 9 of their last 13 home matches. Miami actually acquired that little Argentinian magician, Lionel Messi, which unfortunately, this is super ironic, but he did come off injured in that match on Wednesday, which I don't think that'll necessarily affect this handicap too much. Obviously, if he's on the pitch, you're almost guaranteeing 3 goals there just in general. But Miami has still seen both to score in over 2.5 in 11 of 15 matches since he joined. And Orlando are certainly more than capable of scoring 2+ goals themselves. Historically, this matchup has produced both teams to score in 10 of 12 meetings and both teams to score in over 2.5 in 9 of those 12 meetings. And so it would have been nice to include Messi in this, but they still have plenty of firepower with Joseph Martinez and Leonardo Campana. Those two are kind of duking it out for that starting striker role. And I wouldn't be surprised if they roll with Campana this one. But Facundo Torres and Campana have both been in great form lately, so I'd imagine they might help us get that both teams to score part. And then with all of that implied emphasis on Miami trying to make the playoffs and then Orlando trying to push for this guaranteed home spot for playoffs and then possibly even the Supporters Shield, when this does become 1-1, I think both sides will have more than enough motivation to push on for that third goal. And hopefully we get to see maybe 2-2, 3-2. Some real fireworks.
Robert Taylor as well has been banging it. I see he scored two as well. Yeah. So Robert Taylor sounds like he should be playing with Luton, but he's actually a Finland international.
like he should be playing darts.
Yeah.
What would you
call Robert
against what's his face? Toronto. Oh yeah. Cut in perfectly, beautifully, just like Leroy Sané, and just buried it.
Over 2.5. I think you're correct in here, Joey.
And yes, over 2.5 and both teams to score, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, just one more variable into the equation, but you know how I like to be. Can't make it.
You're famously good at adding variables, my man.
Oh, it's my favorite pastime. Probably shouldn't there we be, go, but it is.
There's a charity quadruple. Rather than a charity treble.
Exactly.
Albeit two of them are in the one game. So the charity treble this week are wins for Dundee United and Parma, and over 2.5 goals and both teams to score in the Orlando City versus Inter Miami matchup. The odds that were locked in on Tuesday, 8.48-1. So hopefully we'll be announcing £94.81 going to a charity on next week's show. The mega coupon this week, if you fancied putting all 12 picks together, turns a fiver into £130,000. So that'd be nice.
Looking forward to that.
One day. It will happen one day. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Just to remind listeners that we have a Facebook group. Come along, join the conversation. We've got loads of folk commenting in there. So thanks to everyone who gets involved. Just search Trample Bet Podcast on Facebook, ask to join the group and get involved in the conversation. You can also give something back to the podcast and support us by becoming a member of the Trample Bet Club on Patreon for £6 a month. Just go to tramplebet.com. You'll see the link there, all the details. As a Patreon member, you get this podcast as soon as we finished recording it, released as a video so you can watch the show and see Joey resplendent in his Trample Bet kit. Newly designed by Gavin McIntosh. It is tremendous. Great job, Gav. Thank you so much. Have a look out for that. A special middle section where we talk about the picks that didn't quite make the show, but we still like for the weekend ahead. So the Patreon members get that instead of the regular advert on the podcast. And also a cheat sheet, all the picks written down so you don't have to take notes or try and remember which of the picks you liked this week. I'm guessing as soon as you finish listening to this show, if you weren't taking notes, all you can probably remember is Anderlecht. Talked about it so much. Come on, the draw. So yeah, thanks to everyone that's a member of our Patreon channel. But we always are on the lookout for more members and we really appreciate it. Gordo, Joey, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming back a second time to do this again. Although really it should be Gordon thanking you and me, Joey. Says fuck up.
I think that I have been unfortunately maneuvered into position here, right? Where there's a lot more onus on me when it comes to the recording of this show. You just do your wee cheat sheet, son. I've got real things in here.
As you have found, the cheat sheet is quite difficult considering you managed to spell Klagenfurt wrong twice.
Difficult word.
In the last cheat sheet. Correct neither time. You had to write it down twice. You spelled it wrong twice. Incredible.
Well,
different and a different wrong spelling each time. Incredible. Hey,
was one of the spellings like just Bruges or something, or were they like close? Like, was it just a different team? Are you being very generous with like?
You also on the cheat sheet that week had them playing in the fucking MLS. So, like, you know, don't belittle how difficult it is to write it requires an attention to detail that you do not have. Just keep pressing start recording and finish recording and then upload the thing.
That's actually, I've had about how many episodes? We're almost at episode 200. And this is the first occurrence of this. But I'm looking forward to the Mostrian.
The cheat sheet's already up.
I know, I did see that.
But
I was
for
reading
our Patreon members, because of the delay, and I wanted them to have it nice and early. It went up on Thursday afternoon, so we're recording this Thursday night. But yeah, thanks for coming back, guys. It's been fun. It's actually been really good fun. So anything to say before we close out for the weekend of Saturday, September 23rd, 2023?
Nothing from me, yeah. Joey.
Always some big matches for DCFC at the weekend. Pushing for the playoffs here. I think we're 2 points out with one game in hand. And we're currently playing one of the worst teams in the league on Saturday. I will be at the match. I'm just hoping for goals, goals, goals. I hope we kick the living crap out of Hartford. I like 3-1 at least.
So, okay. Maybe we handicap shout there on Detroit FC.
Yeah. Yeah. -1 for sure. Absolutely. But personally, I will concede at some point. It just feels inevitable. But yeah, I'm hoping we can get 3 goals plus past them. Because we need to get this offense humming.
Tremendous. Right. Thank you, Gordon. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, as always, to everyone for listening. And good luck for your football coupons this weekend. We'll see you next week. Happy hunting.
Bye.
The Trampled Bet podcast is produced by Andy Vaughan, Gordon McLarnon, and Gary Black. Part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Find the next show you'll love at sports-social.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is your partner Big Boy. Interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood? Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit caneighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello. Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy. Interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood? Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit caneighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello.